8:14, God bless the people in Florida. They're getting ready to get hit hard by Helene here. We got a little taste of fall in the air today, a bigger taste tomorrow, which is good. No Arctic cold front on the horizon or anything like that. But it is going to be nice to have a break from the hot summertime humidity. It's Falls Prevention Awareness Week in addition to being fall. And according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 1 in 4 older adults fall each year. But a lot of these are preventable. Dr. B, our friend Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer at People's Health, joins us now to share tips for staying steady and lowering your fall risk. How you doing, Dr. B?
Hey, Tommy, I'm doing great. How about you?
I am okay, sir. Thank you. And steady on my feet. Let's talk about fall prevention. Why is that so important?
Yeah, thinking about falls is really important, especially for older adults, because the consequences can be so dangerous for them. You know, it can cause a lot of serious injuries, things like broken bones or head contusions. We've even had people with internal bleeding. So it's a really serious condition. But then the other thing you have to think about is once you've fallen, it can be very difficult for people to stay independent, especially if they have an injury that prevents them from being ambulatory and getting up and walking around. And the good news is research shows over and over that the fall risk is actually controllable by things that we do.
You know, I was saying it earlier, Doc, for people that have been through it with older parents, unfortunately, a fall can lead to shoulder troubles, hip problems, and from there, it's just a cascade of downhill health. And if you can prevent it, Lord knows you want to do that. What are some of the things that raises the risk of falling?
Yeah, there's quite a few things, especially as you get older, that make you more likely to have a fall. And that includes a lot of health conditions that older adults can develop. In particular, things like foot injuries can cause difficulty, especially in balance. You know, older adults tend to have some balance problems, especially if they don't take steps to prevent that from developing. And if you're not sure on your feet, you're more likely to fall. And then as you get older, everybody probably knows your muscle mass decreases a little bit, and you can develop some weakness, especially in your lower body and your legs. That's going to make you at a higher risk for falls as well. And then we see in our older patients, often they develop a vitamin D deficiency, and that's because they don't go outside as often as they used to. Vitamin D deficiency can lead to fractures. So if you do fall, you're more likely to break a bone. And then the big one that we see probably most often is something called neuropathy. And neuropathy is a condition we see frequently in diabetics. It actually makes your feet feel numb, and so you have difficulty knowing where you're placing your feet, or when you do take steps, you may feel real, you know, uneasy on your feet as well, and that can lead to falls.
Also, vision, I would think, plays a part in this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, older adults who have trouble seeing are really probably about twice as likely to fall. So you want to make sure you're always wearing your eyeglasses or your contact lenses consistently, really so you know where you're going, you're not bumping into something or stepping on something that may result in a fall. And it's really important, too, to make sure as you get older that you get those yearly eye exams. Make sure you're keeping your eyeglass prescription up to date. And if you have a condition like diabetes or glaucoma or cataracts, keep in mind you really need to get your eyes checked annually, every single year. So if you haven't done that this year, you've still got time. Make sure you get out there and get your eyes checked.
Faux pas has become a metaphor for a gaffe, a social gaffe, but it actually means false step in French, which faulty vision can cause, where you think there's a step there or you miss one, and then before you know it, you're down and hurting. What else can raise your fall risk, Doc?
Yeah, another big one we see is actually medications, you know. So there are certain medications that make you more likely to fall, especially the ones that affect you centrally. They affect your brain. And the most common ones are blood pressure and blood sugar medications. What can happen with that is they can actually make you feel dizzy or cause some confusion. So that's going to make it harder for you to stay steady on your feet. So if you're taking any of those medications and you're getting some of those side effects, you want to talk to your doctor about maybe adjusting your medication or even changing your medication to lower your fall risk.
I know I've spoken to a couple of people recently who had loved ones that fell, not because of high blood pressure, but low blood pressure. So it can happen on either side, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, if you're on too much medicine, or maybe you were put on a medicine and then you lost a lot of weight or you improved your diet, your pressure may go too low, and that could make you fall down.
What happens if you do fall, Doc?
Yeah, you know, if you do fall, the, you know, kind of number one is get the medical care you need, especially if it's something severe involving a break or you're bleeding. You may even need to call 911, but you want to make sure you address the immediate needs right away. But then, this is so important, make an appointment to see your primary care physician. It's extremely important that you let them know about the fall, because one fall increases your risk for future falls. And so you want to talk to your doctor about the steps you can take to avoid another one. And then the other thing, too, is your primary care physician may want to check you for bone density. For example, if you developed a fracture, they may want to get a bone density scan on you to see if other treatment may be needed to make your bones stronger.
Some very valuable information from Dr. B. Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. It's Falls Prevention Week, and so much can be avoided if you just prevent that fall. If you do fall, do you have to slow down? Well, we'll find out. We come back. We'll also talk about prevention and more. 820 Traffic Now, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, talking about fall prevention. Doc, if somebody falls, does that mean they have to slow down necessarily?
No, not necessarily. In fact, you know, a lot of times after a fall, older adults may try to protect themselves by becoming less active, and that is really worse for you, because if you don't consistently move, you're going to lose strength and agility and that balance we were talking about. That all helps you keep you steady on your feet and actually reduce your chances of a future fall.
What about prevention? How can you lower the risk of falling?
Yeah, the biggest thing that you should be doing to reduce your risk of fall is exercise regularly. You know, it strengthens your bones, it actually helps improve your balance, and sharpens your reflexes as well. So if you do slip on something, you're more likely to catch yourself and avoid a fall. And you want to talk to your doctor about what are those safe exercises for you. It's going to be things that are pretty simple, you know, walking, swimming, stretching exercises and stuff like that. You can really benefit from those simple home exercises.
And some other ways?
Yeah, the other thing we tell people about, you know, if your doctor recommends a cane or a walker, make sure you use it. Some people can be embarrassed about that, but you absolutely shouldn't be. It's really important for your safety to prevent that fall risk. And the other thing is, don't put yourself in situations where you may cause a fall. You know, use a grabber to reach high items. Don't stand on a step stool, especially if you're unsteady on your feet. And then be smart about your clothing. You don't want to wear stuff that's baggy. You don't want to wear shoes that are slippery. And in particular, if you've got hardwood floors or non-carpeted floors, don't walk around in only socks, because you may slip and actually fall down and break something.
Any ways to make a home fall-proof?
Yeah, there are a few things you can do. You know, more than half of the falls actually do happen in someone's home. So you want to make sure you look for things like tripping hazards, things that are laying on the floor. If you've got pets, they can definitely get up under you as well. So try to keep them calm and behave. That can be difficult. But, you know, make sure you don't have any loose cables or slippery area rugs around. You want to tape things down to the floor so that you don't step on them and slip.
Some other ideas?
Yeah, some other things you can do. You know, stairwells can be dangerous. Make sure you keep them really well lit. Make sure the lights are on when you're going up and down the stairs. And then you can even put a flashlight next to your nightstand. A lot of times we'll see falls in the middle of the night because someone's getting up to go to the bathroom. They're walking in the dark, step on something, and slip. So that's a real easy tip you can use.
What about keeping the bathroom safe?
Yeah, the bathroom, you really have to address. It's one of the most common places for falls. You know, you imagine, because it's got a lot of wet, slippery surfaces in there. So you want to make sure you have a non-slip mat in your shower. You can actually install grab bars on the walls as well and within the shower. And then if you are really unsteady on your feet, get a shower chair. It's another way to prevent yourself from falling in the bathroom.
What about outside the home?
Yeah, so, you know, the people don't think about this always, but if you have steps leading up to your front door, make sure they're in good condition, that they're not uneven or have, you know, that they don't have broken bricks on them. You want to make sure that you keep all that debris out of your yard as well. Even something like a fallen branch, you could step on, become unsteady, and actually fall down in your front yard. And again, lighting is really important. You've got to see where you're stepping, so keep your lights on at night.
And some final tips for avoiding fall risk?
Yeah, one thing people don't think about is getting enough sleep. If you're not sleeping well, you're more likely to be a little bit groggy, especially in the morning time, and that could actually increase your risk of falls. So at least 7 to 8 hours per night. And then think about things like alcohol in particular, you know, limiting or avoiding alcohol, because that can actually make you unsteady on your feet and sometimes impair your judgment. You may try to do things like get up on a ladder that you shouldn't. And then, you know, when the weather is really bad, especially when we've got a lot of rain going on outside, that's going to make things outdoors slippery. So try to stay indoors when the weather is bad. You're much less likely to fall that way.
You know, one thing I think that I remember telling my mom is that when you get up, take a second to get your bearings about you. Don't just hop right out of bed, right?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of older adults on blood pressure medicines, when you stand up, you can get a little woozy. So stand up, hold on to something, equalize, and then you're good to go.
It'll wait. Take a second. Get your bearings about you. And also, you know, you talk about step stools, Doc. They make them with the handles that rise up. You know what I'm talking about, on the side?
Those can be very helpful, definitely.
So if you get an older parent. Thank you, Doctor. Very valuable information. Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. If you want to find out more about People's Health, I think we'll be out there live in October. You can visit the People's Health Medicare Center in Metairie. It's at 3017 Vets, right next to Party City. Appointments are recommended, but walk-ins are welcome. Very friendly, very helpful. You can go to peopleshealth.com to find out more. You can call them at 1-800-978-9765. People's Health got a 5-star rating. They don't have a lot of those. They don't even have one for every state, but it's the only one in Louisiana. Go to peopleshealth.com. When we come back, we'll talk to Joe Geruso about New Orleans and Entergy and power dependability. Right now, though, a minute late, we go to WWL First News and Chris Miller. I'm so excited. Tommy Tucker, WWL, 844, 16 till 9. I was so excited about John Facenda. I said it was his birthday. It actually wasn't. He was born on August 13th. He died on this date in 1984, but he did do a great job with NFL films. Liev Schreiber does okay. He's no John Facenda, but again, he is married to Naomi Watts, so there is that. Joe Geruso joins us, New Orleans City Council. Remember, how you doing, Joe?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me what happened at the committee meeting yesterday.
Well, we had a committee meeting yesterday for utilities. I think a couple primary things came out of that. Number one is there was a lot of discussion and really more musings, Tommy, out loud about the tree canopy and how that affects what happens with potentially losing power. And it was a little disappointing because some of the coverage yesterday suggested the council was still staying on course, potentially chopping down trees, which isn't true. And really what we're trying to find is what is the right balance between how we make sure there's an active tree canopy, we live in New Orleans, and then making sure that people aren't losing power left and right just as the wind blows. And then I'd say the other major thing that came up yesterday was about communication, particularly in advance of the storm, during the storm. And I think for me, the biggest item to be highlighted is how, when something goes wrong or is delayed, that is communicated to the public. It's really important. And look, mistakes are going to happen. Things are going to go wrong. There will be unforeseeable circumstances. But how you communicate about that, particularly during the storm, is what ultimately builds credibility and helps out for everyone.
So when it comes to just routine power outages, but last night, I don't know, on the West Bank, we didn't have any bad weather. I don't know what it was like in District A. I see a tweet from the Utilities Committee, 1562 energy customers without power District A, 5100 District B, 1646 District C. Do you know what caused that?
Yes, there was a breaker that went out at the Durbany station. And in fact, as it happened, I was saying to myself again, you booked Tommy Tucker, so that's what caused this. Yeah. Every time you book, something bad happens right before you go on radio. Mm-hmm. And look, this is the second part of the communication, is how you are telling people the work that is being done and actually showing the work that's being done. One of the things that also came up, Tommy, yesterday is Energy apparently does not have an asset management plan, and that's just like a fancy bunch of words to talk about knowing how old their equipment is. And as one of my colleagues said, what is the first thing when you bring your car in to ask you? How many miles you have and how old is it, right? And that's like the first thing that also needs to be known about breakers and transformers and poles and lines. And Energy needs to do a better job of getting that under control. And they've identified certain pieces of equipment called arrestors, which are meant to prevent worst outages from being effective on their equipment. There's some that are just old, and there's some that apparently have a manufacturing defect, but how those are being processed along with all the other equipment is, I think, what's most important to residents. And yeah, I mean, we had people in districts A, B, and C who lost power, and I think my district has had about 3 power outages per month since January. That's not a good batting average, and it needs to improve.
So how can they not know, like if we're going to carry the analogy of your car forward, you know, I get texts from Carfax or emails that I'm due for an oil change, or from the oil change place. You get an owner's manual that tells you when you're supposed to do this, when you're supposed to do that when you buy a car. This is a publicly traded utility, is it not? And I would think that they have to control their assets. How could they not know? I'm surprised by that, Joe. I'm a little astounded, really. Am I missing something?
I was taken aback too, and I had to probe and asking the question yesterday. And look, I think we're looking at this as a council now, and with our technical advisors, we have outside advisors, because utility regulation isn't an easy thing. And I spoke to them after the meeting and said, we have to figure this out. We can't be in a world where we say transformers, for example, maybe have a 30-year shelf life, and Energy can't tell us transformer A is 25 years old or 45 years old. And I think that's part of it too, is we obviously then want to see proactive maintenance as a result, and monitoring that equipment that you know is reaching its natural obsolescence. So yes, that is going to be something I think you're going to see us push a lot more for in the next few months, because we're seeing all of these outages happen so often.
See, I kind of find that, we got to take a break here. We'll pick it up when we come back. I kind of find that hard to believe, because it seems like you're talking about a company that makes, you know, widgets, the traditional example of widgets, but they don't know how old the widget cutter is. They don't know how old or what the life expectancy of the widget assembly belt is, or this or that, the other thing. And I find that kind of hard to believe. We'll take a break, pick it up when we come back with Joe Taruso about Energy and its equipment and assets, Energy New Orleans, that is. Right now, traffic, WWL. 8:57, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back with Joe Taruso, talking about the Energy New Orleans and outages, and the New Orleans Council Utilities Committee yesterday. Joe, what I said before the break, is that accurate or not? I mean, is that what they're telling you? That
it was. Look, we went through sort of a series of questions yesterday about, tell us about your asset management, and I wasn't getting the right answer. So finally I said, all right, answer this question. Suppose there is a transformer on Main and First Street. Could you tell me how old that is? No. Well, that tells me what I need to know in terms of the fact that there clearly is not a proactive system for managing assets, and then what we need to do as a result. And look, we need to make sure that we're doing things that don't impede Energy's ability to do their work. And then I think the concomitant responsibility of Energy is looking at its equipment, being able to know how old it is, and having predictable, reliable, knowing maintenance and then capital plan in place to replace those items.
So Entergy New Orleans is a wholly owned subsidiary of Corporate Entergy, right? And then from there it goes on to bigger companies?
So Entergy New Orleans, as I understand it, the sister and brother companies are Entergy Louisiana, Entergy Arkansas, Mississippi, et cetera. And then I think they're all subsidiaries of Entergy Corp. So that's the technical legal, but it is a separate, distinct, and remember, New Orleans, separate from the rest of the state, is Entergy New Orleans, and then the rest of the state is under Entergy Louisiana.
It's separate when it comes to liability, but in terms of stock, it's the same. And I'm not trying to get too far into the weeds in this. It just goes.
I think they're two separate companies. I think they're two separate limited liability companies. But there's certainly connections between the two. For example, remember after Ida, when we didn't have power and the transmission lines went down, those transmission lines were Entergy Louisiana's transmission lines,
right,
that provide transmission to the metropolitan area, including New Orleans. So they are legally separate bodies, but obviously there is some overlap between the two.
So I'm just saying that strange credibility to think that you wouldn't be able to know what transformers are located where, when you got them, what the life expectancy of them is, because you always have to look toward maintenance and what can go wrong and budgeting. I'm shocked by this. I really am.
I know. Well, I think it sort of happens at the end of a meeting. Unfortunately, sometimes when you've had a 3-hour meeting and something comes up at the end, it gets lost in the shuffle. But this is an important piece, and I think the council members know about it, and that's why we're working with our advisors and our council utility office, because it shouldn't be a shocking piece anymore. It's something that we all need to get fixed and make sure we're headed in the right direction.
Tree canopy would seem to be a red herring at this point, but I don't know. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Take care.
We appreciate your time. I really do, but that's shocking that Entergy New Orleans wouldn't know what transformers are where, or how old each one is, or what the life expectancy on each one is. You would think that's kind of like basic business, right? We'll take a break. We come back, we're going to talk to Courtney Jackson. If the dust-up between Disney and ESPN got you thinking about cutting a cord, we'll help you do that. And then we'll talk with Second Harvest about the Duck Derby coming up.